Good morning, Mabel Louise. Hi.
Good morning. It's so good to see you. And it's good to be here and be with you. By the way, I'm looking out the studio window and it looks like the sun is trying so hard to peek through. But you know what? We've had so many lovely warm days. Can you imagine? In the month of February? Yes, the Lord is good. And he's good to me because I get to be with you today. And I'm in the midst of a series of messages that teach us the extraordinary events that took place in Jesus' life leading up to his death on the cross and his resurrection. In case you didn't know, Easter is fast approaching. It comes every year, but this year it's early. In case you haven't checked your calendar, it's April 12th. So today my message is number 2 of a series entitled Behold Our God. I've covered Jesus' birth, and now today I want to cover Jesus' baptism. First, let me read the scriptures found over in Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized by him. But John forbade him, saying, I need to be baptized of you, and comest you to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Allow it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he allowed John the Baptist to baptize him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of a descending like a dove, the Spirit of God, and it was descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So today I want to emphasize, in fact, all through the series, in every message, the words behold and lo. They both mean the same. And when you read the scriptures and you notice those two words, it means that this event in Jesus' life is absolutely amazing. Isn't it easy to take for granted when you're older or even when you're a teenager to hear the stories of the scriptures and kind of ho-hum and say, well, I've heard that over and over and over again. But when you ponder it and think about it and read it and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart, it becomes absolutely amazing. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus was willing to leave heaven and come to earth to save us from our sins? Imagine what a blessing. And then I want to proceed for just a second on very little is mentioned of Jesus' childhood. The only recording is when he was 12 years of old and he was missed by his parents on their way home from attending Passover. He was in the temple asking questions of the priests. And they were astonished at his wisdom. And of course, he was traveling along with the children, and the folks didn't miss him until they had traveled 3 days ahead of him. So they had to go back and find him and search for him. It's interesting that John the Baptist came and was asked of the Lord to baptize Jesus, the Messiah. If you remember, the Roman government was squeezing everything out of the people, all of their livelihood, and people were very discouraged. And John the Baptist came on the scene, and all of his ministry focused on the arrival of Jesus. The commentaries identify John the Baptist as the forerunner of Christ. Actually, with the appearance of John the Baptist, we have the burial of the old dispensation and the emergence of the new. Apparently, John the Baptist was not completely aware of who Jesus was until this day of the baptism. And of course, he felt unqualified to do what Jesus had asked him to do. I think as I was thinking about this, I thought most of us feel that way if we're doing a service for the Lord. We feel unqualified, but isn't it great that Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us and help us? And I know I am. I wouldn't know what to do without the presence of the Holy Spirit teaching me and helping me and guiding me. Well, John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. He became a preacher and lived in the desert. You remember the Christmas story of Zechariah and of his mother, Elizabeth. She was promised a baby, but the baby didn't come. The Lord didn't answer until she was older. And of course, Elizabeth taught Mary about pregnancy, all of those beautiful stories from Christmas. And because John the Baptist lived in the desert, he lived on insects and locusts and wild honey. The honey sounds good, but I tell you, I don't know how I would manage insects and locusts. Yuck. But apparently, it was a good menu. I'm sure he didn't gain a lot of weight. And all through his ministry, he taught repentance of sins and baptism and the coming of the Lord. That was his message. Take note that baptism is very important to Jesus, for it was the first thing he did in his ministry, and it was the last instructions to the disciples. Let me read his last instructions. Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, Jesus was ascending into heaven, and this was his last words for his disciples. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Well, as I was studying all of the four Gospels where it's talked about of John the Baptist and his ministry and of Jesus' baptism, the question came to my mind, why did Jesus ask to be baptized? After all, he is sinless. So let me give you some things that I thought about. I'm sure there are many more, but let me give you what the Holy Spirit taught me, okay? The first thing I thought of was it was part of Jesus' mission coming to earth. At his baptism, Jesus is affirmed as God's beloved Son. So actually, he was introduced to the whole world when he arrived and was baptized. And then God was endorsing Jesus, and God was endorsing John's ministry. People were asking and wondering who John the Baptist really was. And so, by Jesus' appearance, he was endorsing John's ministry. He was telling the people that John the Baptist was true, and now he was the Messiah and was ready to take over the ministry. And then I think Jesus was setting an example for you and me to follow. I would say go and do likewise. If you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, by allowing yourself to be baptized, you are identifying with the fellowship of the believers and that you know Jesus as your Savior. So by allowing Jesus to be baptized, he identifies with the sins of his people and proclaims his allegiance to God. Yes, he was announcing the beginning of his ministry. It was Jesus' way of introducing himself as the promised Messiah. Imagine. The people had been waiting and waiting and waiting for the Messiah to come. Now he is here, the great I am. He also was king and was identifying with his subjects. You see, baptism means identification. So he was identifying completely with mankind. It was also a time to identify the approval of the Trinity. In the book of John, John the Baptist introduces Jesus to the world by saying, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Note the word "behold" again, meaning consider the wonder of this amazing thing. In other words, isn't it amazing and isn't it wonderful? Also, the baptism was symbolic of his death, his burial, and resurrection. His office as priest of God was approved by God. Matthew 3:17 says, "And lo," and there's that word again, "a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Whether or not that voice was heard by all the crowds is not clear. But "this is my Son" seems to indicate that others heard it. Matthew uses the symbol of a dove to communicate the coming of the Holy Spirit. And regarding the appearance of the dove, because the Holy Spirit is not visible on this occasion, however, the Spirit took on a visible appearance and was seen by the people. You see, the dove is an emblem of purity and harmlessness. Matthew 10:16 says, "And the form of the dove at Jesus' baptism signified that the spirit with which Jesus was endowed was one of wholeness and innocence." And you know what? As I was thinking about the dove, Another example of that of a dove being used was with Noah and the great flood. Do you remember? Yes, Noah used a dove to check to see if the land was dry. So the Spirit's appearance as the dove at Jesus' baptism symbolizes the gentle, sweet Savior bringing peace to mankind through his great sacrifice of his death on the cross. So let me say that the Word of God makes it so clear that a person's sins are forgiven only on the basis of our belief in Christ, not through baptism. We are saved through faith, which is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. And Paul and Silas addressed the Philippian jailer in a simple little admonition. They said to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." So what is baptism then? Well, it's really a public testimony of a previous decision of trusting the Lord and asking for forgiveness of sins. It's actually a personal way to say that you are a follower of Christ and that you are doing exactly what he commanded when he said, "Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." I hope that this has been a little bit of a blessing to you today. And if you have never been baptized and you know Jesus as your Savior, why don't you do so? Okay? God bless you and goodbye.